This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Birmingham is in the midst of what's been dubbed Empowerment Week, a series of panels, concerts, commemorations, and other events leading up to Sunday. That day is the 50th anniversary of the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing. The blast killed four girls and severely injured a fifth. It's perhaps the most tragic incident from a tumultuous civil rights era. And on this anniversary, AL.com and Birmingham News columnist John Archibald is considering how far Birmingham has come in 50 years. We talk about that now. And good to have you here, John.
Good to be here, Andrew.
Well, let's start off with, I guess, kind of the glass half full perspective. We aren't living in a city anymore that has bombs going off routinely.
Sure. I mean, and, you know, people, you know, often forget that it wasn't just that one bomb we had. We had, you know, 50, but in the decade leading up to that one. And it's ridiculous to think in any way that we haven't changed. We can't fathom such an event today. We can't fathom such an environment. We go out and work and play and, you know, and live in love with, you know, all sorts of people. And a lot of our younger people really look at it and say, why are we making race such an issue? And you can understand that. And by that standard, we've gone an awfully long way.
Well, you also write that the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing did bring us together. It gave us a truce and an excuse. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, after 63, which was, yeah, of course, the campaigns were held in the name of bringing, you know, us together in integration. And when Wallace was saying segregation forever, King and the children marched for integration. But after the courts ruled that that governments couldn't do that, we did it ourselves. And so Hoover went from nothing to 80,000. You look around, we have, you know, about 50 cities in these two, Jefferson and Shelby County. And if you look at all the people who live in those in cities in those two counties, about 8% of them live in a really truly integrated cities. So for better or worse, we have separated ourselves.
We've self-segregated.
Exactly.
Well, that white flight, that self-segregation, it's well documented, not just here, but around the country. But people often clump together by, you know, same political beliefs, racial, socioeconomic lines. How do you force integration then? You know, busing in schools really has a pretty mixed record.
Well, you don't. And I'm not really saying this to judge people for where they live. It's just a simple matter of where it is. Of course, you do run into problems, of course, with disparities and those sorts of things. And, of course, in Hoover right now, you have parents who are arguing that Hoover is shutting down its bus service in an attempt to – for schools – in an attempt to make school system less attractive for poor people and black people and Hispanic people who live in apartments. Hoover denies that, of course. But you have those issues that become relevant civil rights and human rights issues today.
So with that in mind, you know, some would look at this situation and a situation in Hoover, for instance, and say, you know, yes, it involves whites and blacks, but there have been a lot of blacks, for instance, that have left Birmingham. You know, that this is increasingly about money. It's not so much about race. We're making too big of a deal of race. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I think a lot of it is economics and class. And you do. You have – I mean, white flight was a big thing in the 70s and 80s, but any realistic person would have to say it's flight now at this point. I mean, there's effort – by people to move to places that they believe are better for their families. And that's ultimately what we have come to and ultimately where we're going.
So when we look at this issue of how we've separated ourselves out, is it just about numbers? If poverty rates were the same among black and whites, if schools were balanced between blacks, whites, Hispanics, you know, this wouldn't be an issue? Is it just about numbers?
Well, I want to say, you know, if the moon were made out of green cheese well, I don't know. I guess we'd smell like cheese. But I guess that wouldn't be an issue. I mean, if we were truly integrated, we would have a little better idea of each other. We would have fewer of the divides that do separate us. And I think that may have been the goal. It is not the way we wound up.
Well, you say we have a long way to go. What does the destination look like in your view?
Well, I mean, I think you can look. I mean, and we talk about Hoover, and again, Hoover actually is a place that passes for diverse here with about 74% white. But as time passes, we will become more and more together, I do believe. I mean, 50 years is a long time, but it really is a small step in the grand and long history of racial relations in this country.
I also want to touch on this morning the death of longtime state representative Demetrius Newton. He died yesterday. He was 85. Newton was the state's first black House pro tem, which is the number two position in that chamber. And John, for those of us who never met him, you know, what was he like?
Well, he was unassuming and pretty quiet. I always found him to be very intelligent and reasonable. If I think of when I think of him, I think of reasonable, and that goes back to his days as city attorney. And that, you know, that doesn't sound like a big word, but when we're talking politics around here, that's a pretty important word.
Yeah. So, what would you say is his legacy?
Well, I think that's it. He was somebody who could sit down and talk intelligently about an issue, and not be a knee-jerk reactionary to politics.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Birmingham News, nail.com. You can catch his thoughts every Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and online anytime. John, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.